Well, hey, if I've never introduced myself or I've never met you, my name is John Wesley Bryant. Yes, that is one word and 10 letters long in first grade. It was a challenge, but we got through it, amen. But me and my beautiful wife are the youth pastors here at our ARAB campus. And if you can tell, I am not as pretty as Pastor Keith. Yeah, but how many of you guys ever been through an encounter? Woo! Yeah. All right, how many of you guys not been through an encounter? All right, you need to go through an encounter, but that's what Pastor Keith is doing with a sister church of ours this weekend. He is investing in other people. And I like to say it like this. When you are as gifted as we are as the body of Liberty Church to have a pastor like we do, we have to share him sometimes, amen? So y'all just make sure y'all cover him in prayer. He'll be coming home this evening. I can't wait to hear some of the God stories that he has. It's going to be a great and phenomenal time. But real quick, everybody on Facebook and everybody, just welcome. How you doing? Super glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1. And I know everybody just looked at me and said, Lamentations, are you serious? Yeah, I know. This is the most motivating book in the Bible. No, I'm just kidding. But what I want to look at is I just want to launch into what today we're going to discuss and we're going to kind of unpack together is just the basics. When you think of the basics, what do you think about? You think about maybe the first couple days on your job, whether it was construction, maybe it was working at a hospital, maybe working at a big department store. I worked at a Hobby Lobby for 5 years and there was so many rules and you had to like jump over all the lines. It was crazy. But knowing the basics helped you every day. Or maybe more you relate to maybe sports, any sports guys or maybe some girls that played basketball or some softball or something. Yeah, amen. If you haven't played pickleball yet, you're missing out. I'm just saying. But maybe the basics of just learning how to shoot the ball or dribble the ball kind of more brings that concept back to your mind. So Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21 says this. It says, restore us, O Lord, and bring us back to you again. Give us back the joy we once had. I don't know about you, but we're living in a time and date where there's no joy and people are so far from God, and even some of us that are seeking God feel super far from God. This whole chapter, chapter 5, is absolutely just a chapter of a prayer of restoration. I don't know about you, but today I hope you feel encouraged and motivated and challenged when you walk out of the doors of Liberty Church to go conquer your world this week. But I think it's sometimes I feel like we make being Christians, being Christ followers, however you want to label it, super, super confusing. And today I just want to look at the basics. Now, I do believe there's multiple elements, but today I just want to focus in on just three elements. I want to look back to kind of get us back to the basics. Number one, we're going to talk about our faith. Number two, we're going to talk about our family. Number three, we're going to talk about community. Now, I do believe personally there's multiple elements. I believe that there's more than just three, but these are the three I really want to anchor down on and for us to kind of feel motivated and encouraged that God's not done with us, amen? God is still wanting to use us. He's wanting to mark this world with his glory using the body of Christ. You take us out of the world, you take Christ out of the world. Guys, if you think about that, every day you get to bring and offer Jesus Christ and his glory and his mercy and his presence to everyone around you by your words, your actions, and your attitudes. And I just want to look at three simple principles for us to kind of just maybe sharpen a little bit of the basics, if you would. So, if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And it says this, pretty famous scripture. I feel like all of us probably know it or have heard it before. So faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. Now that's what you're doing right now. You're hearing the word, but you also don't just need a pastor on a Sunday morning or a youth pastor on a Wednesday night to do that. There is a living word and you have one at home. If you don't, come find me. I'll go buy you one today. Walmart is open. But this is alive and active, and we need to make sure that we're doing it. And we need to hear it, not just corporately, but individually, or maybe you're married or with your kids, whatever it may be, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I was doing some research as I was preparing for this message, and I come across this crazy study, and it was done by the Center of Bible Encouragement. And they did a study in the U.S. from ages 8 to 80. So I think everyone in this room is qualified. Yeah, amen. That was supposed to be a joke. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I thought it was pretty interesting. So they just really looked at just reading or listening to your Bible every day. How does it change your everyday walk? And I'm gonna be honest with you. When I started reading this, I was like, this is not really encouraging because day one, nothing happened. Nothing. Day two, there was not a change. Nothing moved. Nothing happened. Day three, you ever been outside in July and you see those little lightning bugs and you're like, bleep, bleep, bleep. That's kind of what it was like on day three. But day four, Man, it just jumped off the pages. It just spiked. It was remarkable how it went from almost nothing to where they could not even contain it inside the study. I'm just going to give you a few, and it's on your outline too. So feeling lonely dropped 30%. Guys, I don't know about you, but who has a cell phone in the room? I deal with young people all day long. They're so connected through this, but yet statistics say they're more lonely than ever before. More lonely than you felt when you were a kid or a young adult. But if you read your Bible, it drops 30%. That's remarkable. Or how about this? Anger issues. Anyone ever dealt with that before? Some of y'all are like, yeah, kind of me. The CR pastor's in the back. We do, and we deal with it. Come find us on Tuesday nights. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and he works for a big box store, and he just told me the other day, he's like, I'm just done with stupidity. I was like, wow, that's pretty aggressive. He said, I'm just done with ignorance. It just, people make me so angry. And I just kind of, when he was talking, it just kind of brought me back that if we quit loving people, we take God off earth, really. We take the element of Jesus Christ saving someone. So like, when you're in your Bible, when you're reading and seeking him, it gives you that fuse, for say, that you can deal with stupidity. I'm pretty sure I'd give everyone the microphone and someone somewhere that you would deal with on a daily basis, you could be like, as my grandfather used to say, their elevator don't go all the way to the top. But I think that's crazy. When we seek God and hear him out, it drops 32%. How about bitterness in relationships? Anybody married? Yeah. Anybody got kids? Yeah. Anybody got one or two kids? Anybody got a kid on the way? I can't hold up enough. Praise God, she's pregnant. I'm not. But she's going to give birth to our beautiful daughter here soon. It's going to be great. So it drops, remarkably, 40%. 40%. What if you knew that when you walked away from spending time in the Word, that when your spouse, that the enemy tries to use something, or your kids, or someone at work, when he tries to use something to bring the bitterness out of you, you're like, you know what? I know the truth. I know where it's founded. I'm not scared of this. The enemy, and you start seeing these distractions and schemes that the enemy tries to come by. To me, this is one of the best resources. I tell our young people all the time, your phone will eventually die unless you have a charger. But if you have a paperback, it's all the time. I just want to say, I need to quit doing that or Pastor Nick's going to kill me. I've never dealt with this, but how about alcoholism? Alcoholism drops 57%. I mean, you want to talk about breaking generational curses just by reading and hearing the Word of God. I mean, an element that your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, kids that are only going to know you because you're in their lineage, know because you read. Amen. Think about that, breaking those generational curses. How about feeling spiritually stagnant? For me, I feel like me and my friend group, we deal with this more than anything. It's like, am I qualified to do what I'm supposed to be doing, or am I not? What's that look like? It drops 60%. When you read your Bible, listen to your Bible on a daily basis, you're qualifying yourself for what you're supposed to do that day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you missed yesterday. Just worry about what you're equipped and anointed to do in this moment right here and now. That's what the Word of God can do when it's active and alive in your life. This is my favorite one. Viewing pornography drops 61%. Come on, guys. We're living in a... Yeah, you can praise for that. Come on, that's awesome. We're living in a culture where sex is becoming a religion. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they are. Think about this, guys. Pastor Keith did our series back in February, and he talked about pornography, and it was a rated PG-13, but if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it, but I'm going to give you fair warning. He brought this stat out that I thought was crazy. So the MLB, the NFL, and the NBA all combined steal don't make as much as the pornography industry. If you want to talk about something that the enemy is using, not just in young people and young boys, because the statistics say that 2 out of 3 are girls now, but when you're in the Word of God, 61% it drops. Amen. Think about that. And look, maybe you have kids that can't read yet. Maybe they're 2 or 3 like mine, or 2.5 and 1. Read out loud. Play it on the TV. Let them hear it. Let it be something they're so used to that when you don't do it, they ask, why ain't we doing this? Make it part of their culture where they go there first instead of going to pornography, where they go there first instead of alcoholism, where they go there first and seek Jesus and find him out, and they don't go and they don't get bitter, they don't get angry, they don't do those things. So on the flip side of that, I want to give you some crazy statistics that they gave when you do read the Bible and listen to it. So sharing your faith with others is 220% higher odds that you'll do that. 228% higher odds that you will actually share your faith with someone because you feel equipped and you are anointed to do and talk to the people that are going to walk around in your life that day. I used to work at Hobby Lobby, and I met some strange, unique characters. I'm going to leave it at that. And they'd get frustrated over colors, guys. I'm talking about like those 2-ounce bottles. But man, when I was in my faith and in my word, I could deal with the craziness and the, but I could have the opportunity where it's like, is this my moment? I want to share. It's like 228%. How about this? Discipling others is 231% higher odds. Maybe that's discipling your spouse. Maybe that's discipling your kids. Maybe a spiritual kid. Maybe someone that you're involved with in a ministry. Y'all are doing a Devo together. How about someone, maybe you're a manager or a zone manager, whatever they call it. You know, you're over your shift and you have that availability where, you know, your business allows you to kind of talk about God or whatever. You are more likely to disciple people when you're in your word. 231% higher odds. If that don't motivate you to want to read your Bible, I don't know what else will. I guess I just need to put a big old fat pizza on it and be like, eat this, then eat the word, and you got it. I'm a youth pastor, so we eat a lot of pizza. Pray for us. Whew. So what about this? Memorizing scripture is up 407% higher odds that you will memorize scripture when you read on a daily basis. Think about that. Because someone can take this from you, and someone can take this from you, but they can't take this from you. Because if they take this, you're meeting him, praise God. Right? So think about that. And in 2011, I got challenged by Pastor Keith. Praise God that we have a pastor that don't just challenge us corporately, but challenges us individually. It might be because I'm his youth pastor and his son-in-law and his wife's husband and a bunch of stuff. Anyways, I love Pastor Keith. He said, hey, we need to memorize. And memorization is not just for kids, it's for all of us. Guys, we're doing the thing this year. We're taking it super serious. Every series we do this year, our students are going to have an opportunity to memorize one scripture. And we're going to have a big blast blowout at the end of next year's fast, and it's going to be great. But they're going to have 12 passages of scripture memorized by this time next year. How phenomenal is that? Because guess what? Sometimes when you're at school, you can't pop your phone out and you can't pop your Bible out, but you can have a conversation. And when the Holy Spirit brings it back to memorization to you, you can start talking about it. You don't have to memorize this for like, I can literally quote every word. Because when you're in a conversation, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it back, and that's when you remember it. That's the moment that Jesus is going to use you. So I want to go back to that scripture. It says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through. Through's the word I want to focus on for a second. The word of Christ. So does anybody know the definition of through? Cool, glad. No hands. I'm going to teach you guys something. It's awesome. Definition of through is this: moving in one side and out the other of an opening, channel, or location. So I want you to imagine that the Word of God's right here. This is you in the morning. You're at point A. When you go through the Word of God and hear the Word of God and read the Word of God and see it for yourself and you get to point B, you've gone from point A to point B, not just because you got to go to a job, but because God wants to use you when you get to that job. You are now qualified to do what you've been called to do. And that's the benefit. And we need to go through the Word of God every day. So here's our first point. So faith plus God's works equals Holy Spirit encounters. Pastor Ian said this a couple years ago, and it just kind of comes to my mind every time I get frustrated or I feel like I'm overwhelmed or it's just like a busy season in my life. He said that the Holy Spirit has Holy Spirit encounters every day, but it's our job to act on it. He's going to give you the opportunity to either walk through the door, move in that location, be for that person what they need to be in that moment. That's Christ-like. I'm not telling you to tell people to sin, but you are going to have those moments. Don't let the busyness of everyday life get in the way of why we're here on earth, is to give the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ by talking to people. Your best tool is your teeth. So show them. They're good for you, okay? So I was at work this past week, and then we're going to move on to element two. And I had a buddy of mine. He was telling me his testimony. And he said he was at the bottom of his life at this point. He didn't know what to do. He was accused for some stuff, and he didn't know what was going to happen or whatever. And they asked him, he's like, what do you want? He said, I want a Bible. I was like, okay, that's pretty neat. And he said he started reading it, and he started reading it, and then he started believing it, then he started believing it, and then he started praying over it, and he started praying over his life. And God did what people said was not going to happen in 3 weeks' time. Just because he believed what he read, prayed over what he read, and started applying it to his life. He said this, which I thought was profound. He said, I know what God told me, and nothing they say is going to change what I know is the truth. You want to talk about a basic principle. When God shows you something, you know it's true and it's backed up by Scripture, don't you quit standing on that word that God's given you. You stand up and stand out. When people want to throw some stuff at you, guess what? They're going to fall because this world's all going to end one day. But when you're standing and you're in obedience and God wants to use you, do it. But make sure that you're equipped through the Word of God. Let's look at our next principle. Our next element is family. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. I'm using some really famous scriptures today. But I think just the basics is a good thing. So Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6 says this. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Now I want to talk to all the dads for a minute. I'm going to call you out, and I'm going to call you up. First and foremost, if you're a dad or a granddad, you are the pastor of your house, not me. It's you. It's not my job to pastor your kids, to disciple your kids. I'm going to make this statement. The church is a resource, not the solution. The solution of Jesus is Jesus Christ. So when you use your authority in your house, your kids are going to start listening because that's the divine order from God. Now, moms, I'm not telling you that you can check out. Because I love what that scripture says at the beginning. Direct your children. It doesn't say pastors direct your flock's children. It's your job, mom and dad, to have those hard conversations. To be like, this is why we don't do this. And this is why we do this. And look what Jesus has done. And this is what Jesus shows us. They need to hear it from you. Our second point is this. Your kids need to know your testimony. That the Word of God is alive and active and not just some old book of rules. Guys, I know I've talked to one of my good buddies I worked with for years. He was like, I've been telling my testimony for years to my kids. Don't let what was the darkest season in your life not help shape and cultivate your kids. Because you're not just going to tell them what was wrong. You're going to tell them where you were, how bad you were, went through Jesus, and where he's brought you and what you're doing. Amen. Look, this, I can't tell you how many students I'm like, I don't need a Bible. That's just a bunch of old stuff. That's what they believe. That's what society is telling them. Guys, this needs to be alive and active. And what better way than for parents, especially dads, to tell their kids what God has done in their life because it's part of their heritage. It's part of who they are. Why do I act like this? Because I had to break that generational curse. Why do I crave this? Because your granddad broke that generational curse. You need to tell them the book of God needs to be so alive in your household that they wonder why you don't talk about it when you're supposed to talk about it. I could scream to them blue in the face, and I know that's good preaching. But I met with some of our elders, Curtis and Jim, the other day, and praise God, they do what they do, and I don't have to do that. But I made the statement, and Curtis just was like, yeah, that's so true. And Samantha has said it from the pulpit before, that we are living in a generation without parents. I can't tell you how many students that I have on a Wednesday night bring their friends, and they'll come for a couple weeks, and we'll play basketball, and eventually I get to kind of start having those conversations. I'm peeling back the onion with them, and I'm like, hey, you know, what's your mom and dad do? I don't know. My mom's strung out on heroin, and my dad's dead. Or my dad's been in prison for 36 years. I'm never going to see him. And my mom's at a recovery house, and it's just a repeated done it cycle. And I just need to tell the grandparents this, because my grandparents were such crucial elements in my life. That grandparents, you have a role and you need to play it. It's not time for you to check out. It's time for you to check back in. God's not done with you. There's things that you can still offer. There's things that you need to give that only you can give. I'll put it to you like this. There's a cool story, and I'll probably cry. I am emotional. My wife, every time we watch an emotional movie, she's like, "You gonna cry?" I'm like, "My goal is not to cry, because I'm the man, and this is my house, and I'm gonna." Yeah. Anyways, so that's good stuff. But I always ask Jude and Titus these kind of questions when I come home from work. I'm like, "Hey, what'd you do today?" You know, and Jude will sometimes tell me what he did, and I'll ask him, "You know, what'd you explore?" He's in this little season right now where he's like, "I fell over there, Dada, and I busted my head." And then he like relives the whole element, and we have to like, "Whoa." And he'll just start crying. Well, just take a deep breath. And the other day, I just happened to think about this question, and I asked him. I said, "You talked to God today?" My two and a half year old. He said, "Yeah, I did. And I prayed for Papa." Papa is what he calls Keith. See, here's the thing, guys, and especially grandparents. He knows that Papa prays, not for just him, but for all of you and all of us. He preaches, he reads the Word of God, and he talks about God. So guess what, guys? If I can echo that in my house, and then when he goes to their house, it's also echoed, how much better off are my boys going to be? So grandparents, don't check out. Check back in, okay? This is not the time and day. We need Abrahams in this day and age. Now, let's look at community, and we're going to wrap it up here in a minute. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says this. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect the meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That scripture is basically telling us people need people. You need people when you can't see and when you're in a dark season, you need people. And Romans chapter 12, verse 7 and 8 says this, if you have the gift of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging, and if it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Amen. These are a bunch of elements that all of us have, and some of us are stronger in others than others. Maybe you are encouraging. Maybe you are a great teacher. Maybe you have an abundance of a bank account. Just so you know, Monday through Saturday, I love Chick-fil-A. Whatever it may be, make sure that you're doing what God's called you to do. I got this. I heard this pastor this past week. It was just a clip. I don't know his name. I wish I did. And he was saying, and I thought it was a beautiful picture of what community looks like. And so we had two dogs. Anybody dog people? Yep. Praise God, they can stay at your house. I'm not a dog person. I know I got a lot of backlash from first service, but I'm just telling the truth. I have kids right now. I got enough. Praise the Lord. But he's so for sake, let's say this is Axel and this is Max. And he said he would leave them out there on his patio in his backyard. And he had a giant pasture. And they'd run around and they saw squirrels and they'd just run after them. He said he just loved them. They'd take off and disappear. He said never caught one, but they were just full of joy when they came back. You know, as full of joy as dog could be, I guess. And he noticed that there was a season where Axel could no longer see the squirrels at the end of the pasture. But Max still could. And Max would chase them, and he noticed that Axel quit kind of following and everything. But eventually he noticed that Axel turned and looked at Max. And when Max would see a squirrel and his hair would stand up on the back of his head, Axel would take off. I don't know about you, but sometimes there's some seasons that you don't feel like you can see God, hear God, but when someone in community with you can and takes off, something about their faith being activated can activate your faith. So I don't know where you're at, what you're going through, what you're dealing with. Maybe your kid just came out of the hospital. Praise God that Nash is out of the hospital. When I heard that story, amen. When I heard that story, it just took me back, especially when Pastor Keith said something about the ventilator. Man, it took me back to when my son was on the ventilator and I didn't know what I was going to do. But I felt y'all's prayers. I couldn't see God. I couldn't hear God. I was so frustrated at God, to be honest with you. But something about seeing someone else's faith take off just brought me back. So when I heard that story, man, I prayed. Man, I prayed so hard. And I talked to his granddad right before we did baptism. He said it was like it never happened. And that's the power of Jesus Christ, right? That nothing can ever happen. And if you've ever hung out with Nash, he sits behind me and Sam, usually on the front row right there. And he's like, amen, Pastor Keith, amen, go get him. I'm like, you need to inspire other people. We need to put you up there with a microphone or something. Anyways, so, but that's a beautiful picture. Running with someone that can see what you can't see. So here's our last point. So what you think is basic may be transforming to someone else's faith. So don't quit doing the basics, guys. The basics of prayer, the basics of worship, the basics of reading the Word of God can put you in a place that you can stand on and you can jump so much farther and higher than you thought you would because of the anointing of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. I don't know who you talk to. I don't know who you see. I don't know what your kids are going through. I don't know where your parents are at. But God wants to use you. Let your faith motivate their faith. Amen. Does anybody know who Kobe Bryant is? Yeah, my name's John Wesley Bryant. I'm not related, but that would have been really cool. Now, I'm not debating on whether it was Michael was the best or Kobe was the best. That's for a different sermon, okay? But I do know they're both better than LeBron. We're going to leave that alone. So, Kobe was to me what for some of you guys was Michael. He showed up and showed out at every single game and practice. But I was listening to this sports analyst, and he got to go into the Lakers training facility. And he's in there at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he walks in, and Kobe Bryant's already in a dead sweat. And he's just practicing. I mean, this is the best NBA player in the world at this point. And he's in there. And what is he doing? He's not shooting half-point shots to look really good on TikTok. He's not shooting free throw points to make sure he gets a bunch of likes on Facebook and Instagram. He's in there and he's working on his dribbling. He's working on his layups. He's sitting at the free throw line shooting, just shooting, just shooting. He's working on foot. Where's my foot need to place to give me the best advantage? He said, this analyst sat down, he said he watched him for 45 minutes take such high intensity and such basic things that you would teach middle schoolers. And he watched him just sweat it out and do it. And he's like, this is the best athlete. And he said the rest of the day went by, they went into, this is 3 hours before mandatory practice for the rest of the team. Talk about leadership. The rest of the team comes, they practice. They go for their team meetings. They do their special media days. And this guy catches. And he's done several different interviews with Kobe before. And he just stopped Kobe. And I want to read it and not mess it up. He stopped Kobe. He said, Kobe, I noticed you were in here 3 or 4 hours before everybody. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, man. He said, you're the best in the world. And you're doing simple basics. He said, Kobe smiled at him and he said this. He said, I never get bored with the basics. Guys, how can we get bored with the guy that gave everything so we could have everything? Come on, guys. Yeah, amen. Just because something is basic does not mean it's easy. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down and tried to read my Bible and my brain goes 1,000 different directions. What's my responsibility? What do I got to get done? This is my checklist. This is what I'm supposed to do or whatever. And I'm just like, stop. I just want to hear you for a minute. Just show me something new about you I've never experienced. That's the power that you get to experience every day. So don't stop praying. Don't stop worshiping. And don't stop reading the Word of God. This is what I want to do. I don't want everybody to bow their heads. I want to ask the prayer team to come forward. And I want to talk to two different people real quick. If you say, man, I am a son, I am a daughter of Jesus Christ, and I follow Him faithfully, but something somewhere when you were saying something just sparked where I need to get back to the basics. What I need to be doing in this moment, in this season of my life, whatever that may look like. I don't want you to wait for me to say amen in a minute. There's people up here that have been dedicated. They fast, they meet. This is appointed time. We don't take this lightly at Liberty Church. Prayer is a powerful thing. So if that's you, and you've already met Jesus, you need to respond now. Don't wait on me. These people up here, and they're ready to pray for you now. Move if you need to. But there's a second group of people. And maybe you've not ever met this guy named Jesus. Maybe you're like, man, some of those basic principles seem super simple, but some too simple. And I don't quite understand it. I tell you right now, the world don't understand why we follow Jesus until you get to meet him. So this is what I want to do. Everybody in participation, I just want you to repeat after me. And if that's you, this is your moment. I just want you to slip up your hands. Anyone on Facebook, anyone on Instagram, whatever it may, put the hand emoji in. This is your moment. Everyone in person, the ushers are going to slip a packet in your hand, and it's just your next steps. We're not going to let you meet Jesus and not be equipped to do what God's called you to do. But everyone in the room, I just want you to repeat after me. And if this is your moment, please, don't wait. God's here, and he wants to be with you. So everybody just repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to bore my sins, to take my place, and to let me stand in right standing with you. Today, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, and will follow you for all my days. In Jesus' name I pray. Miss Karina is going to lead us in worship. Won't everybody stand? Again, if that was you and maybe you're hesitant to raise your hand, there's going to be ushers in the back when we dismiss in a few minutes. Don't miss your packet. And for everyone else that we just talked about, whatever the basic is that God showed you in the moment that we've been just kind of discussing and breaking down God's word, move. Move on it. This is your time. Don't take what you brought in that God wants to take from you back out. Go out more equipped than you were when you walked in. Not because some little guy was obedient to Jesus, but because Jesus is present in the moment. So let's worship the King of Kings.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine own. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Taking us back to the basics. Lord, of just simply meeting you for the first time, meeting you in your word, talking to you through prayer, and experiencing your presence through worship. Lord, I just pray over Liberty Church this week that we're commissioned to do what you've called us and anointed to do this week. Lord, let our words, our actions, and our attitudes reflect the things that you've done in our lives. And let's have moments. Let their doors be open. Let's move from one location to the other to have a moment to share you, Holy Spirit. We desire for those encounters. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, you guys, y'all have a great day in the Lord. Amen. Make sure that you grab your yard sign if you didn't get one last week. All the guys, y'all need to go sign up, because if you don't show up, I'm eating your food. March the 28th. Love y'all. Be blessed.